Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Organic Nation Listening Club with hosts Hummingbird and David Arnett Cherry. Let's do this thing. Do this.
Ooh.
get your blood rushing. Good morning, Organic Nation Listening Club. Good morning, Mr. David Arnett Cherry. And, of course, I'm Hummingbird. Oh, my God, Michael Jackson got me working day and night. You know what? That will never be another Michael Jackson. That will never be another Prince. These people were innovative. I mean, this man, that song right now will make you sweat. And try. You can still do the same dances that they're doing now to these songs that we're hearing on the radio. Unfortunately, to this masterful music that Michael Jackson put out. I'm just like, oh, I just love me some Michael Jackson. And I did that to a tribute for my grandbaby who loves Michael Jackson. That was not he was a baby before Michael Jackson died. You know, Michael Jackson died and he was a baby. And I don't know how.
Wow.
But he says, when he was in daycare, his daycare worker would always listen to this person, and he loved it. But he don't know the old Michael Jackson. He wouldn't have known this one, and unfortunately, he's not with us right now. But he knows Thriller and, you know, all of those other songs, and he knows all of those. So I wanted to enlighten him with some really, really good Michael Jackson song that his mama loved. I'm going to have to... His mama, his daddy, and everybody loves. And he's unfortunately not here to hear it. But good morning, Organic Nation Listening Club. I'm Hummingbird. And good morning, David.
I'm David Arnett Cherry. And I'd like to bring to a point also that's off the wall. And you have to understand that Quincy Jones, which was a jazz orchestrator and musician, trumpet player, he did a lot of the producing on that first record,
really?
On the Thriller. So you got to understand that it's interesting that you have jazz cats always a part of these hit records
Would you want to put Quincy just in a jazz category? Quincy was just an awesome
producer. I'm going way back when he was doing jazz in the 60s. And he was top of cat. And then all of a sudden, as he came up doing TV and everything, and then he hooked up with Michael, that was a great combination. But also they made a good collaboration. In a way, because those arrangements are great. You can hear some of his horn lines. I mean, doing horn lines and stuff like that. So, but I don't know the whole story with that. But you know, Quincy produced that also. So, so it's interesting to understand that they take his ideas, which is really brilliant, Michael Jackson ideas, but then put it in a context of. But really producing it because, you know, in a way, when Quincy came in and studio-rized this stuff. And I just always want to say that Quincy, on those first two records, you know, he produced some things. And then the musicians they had in there, I don't even know all of the musicians, but you can hear the studio musicians, they was like top notch.
Yeah, they was on it, boy. Like you heard those horns, that horn section? They were on it. So I was you know, we don't hear that kind of music as much anymore. I'm going to try my best to start getting out. And, you know, they have a lot of bands here in the Dallas area. So I said I was going to start trying to get out and start looking at some of them and listening to some of them. It'd be interesting to see if we could actually get some of them on the radio that we're able to, you know, get on the streets and actually hear bands that's out there, you know? It's been a long time. How many times have you...
That's a good idea,
Let's get out there and get the... I mean, not just jazz bands, but I want all type of music. That's all... Hint the word organic. You know what I'm saying? Nation music. So we want to get it where it's going to be a variety of many, but I just want it to where we can really hear the sound of a band. It's been a long time. And I don't know, do it exist? That'd be a good research. Do real bands really good bands like the ones we were raised up on, do they exist anymore? I know what good horn
yes,
sounds,
they do.
Right?
They do.
They do. That's what I'm.
Yes, they do.
We're going to show them.
You just have to, yeah, they do, you know. Yeah, you're listening to the Organic Nation Listening Club with Hummingbird on a Saturday morning. Springtime sessions is coming in, and you heard the new ideas. We're going to get out there and interview some people and check out some new stuff. That's a beautiful idea, Hummingbird. Love it.
Yeah, I think
you know.
Great. Well, I think it would be fun. And then we'll start hearing many different kind of music. Like I said before, I won't be jazz. It won't just be. I'm hoping to find some world music here. I want every type of music. It's going to be with a band. It could be rap. It could be anything. But we want to hear it. We want to see what's going on the streets, and we want to keep you guys updated on what's happening in the streets. Maybe we'll get in touch an unknown person. Then later on, we say, "Yeah, we first heard that on Organic Nation Listening Club. Look at him now." You know,
mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
We want to start getting out there and venturing out there and see how we can put a light on all of these stars, these unknown stars that just hadn't shot off yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, Cherry.
Well, let's listen. Let's listen to another piece that you pulled up on me, and then and then we can come back and get into the second session of the rap.
All right.
Of the rap of the serious organic. I call it organic talk now. So we're going to get into the organic talk section coming up. So here we go. Let's do this thing. You're on the Organic Nation Listening Club with Hummingbird and David Arnett Cherry. And let's listen to more Michael Jackson. You know, and like I said, it still has that taste of the musicians playing, you know, and grooving with each other. and he was very young, but it's that rhythm section in the band is like tight.
Yeah.
And he's just like grooving over that stuff, man.
Yeah, it had a lot to do with Joe on that one, because that was, well, how old was he? Maybe 8? How old was he when he made that song? I may be giving him too
much
age.
No, he has to be a little bit older.
Older than that?
Be a little bit older. Yeah, because they always put his age when he first came out younger than what he was really.
Younger than what they actually are. Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, because that was the thing of in that day. But he was a showman then, but I mean his voice was like this incredible improv voice that he had it. He had it, you know. And you can tell he enjoyed doing it, you know. There was something about that, the enjoyment of sharing it, you know, openness in that, you know.
I know.
What's on Hummingbird? You have brought us into some Michael Jackson and what's happening out there in the world and stuff that you're concerned with, or, you know, this is Organic Talk, Organic Nation Listening Club segment. Anything?
Well, you know what? I had so many things that I was thinking about earlier, but you remember I was going to try to get the grandkids to chime in since it is spring break. Everybody know, I don't know if it's spring break where you are, but here in Texas and the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, it is spring break. And all of the kids are out and kicking it and having fun at the beach and things of that sort. So I wanted to address not absentee father, because, you know, everybody addresses absentee fathers. I don't want it to be like an absentee father. I wanted to see if that would be a difference. And I think you may be able to chime in on this slightly. You may be able to give me a different light, because I was, for a lot of years, a mother and a father to my two oldest sons, because their fathers were not participating in their life. One was in and out, the other one wasn't in there at all. And that had a lot to do with me on the second one, because I thought he was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and I wasn't going to let him be around my baby. So, you know, he did a lot of things after the fact that kind of let me know that this is not the dude you want to have your kid by himself. But I never alleviated the opportunity to come see him. That was not something, that's not my agenda. I'm not one of those baby mamas, was one of those baby mamas that you could say, she used the baby as a pawn, never that. You didn't have to pay a dime. You should pay a dime, because that would be your obligation, but the baby still needed to have a relationship with the father. It's just, now, I'm going back to our generation, to where it was very rare on my end from where, okay, let me tell you, I'm looking through my eyes through a microscope through my life. My father was in my life right now. He's 85 years old. I love my daddy to death, and I have never been without a father. I didn't have my father worked the 9 to 5 or whatever, 8 to 4, whatever it was, and then he came home. He was the breadwinner. I saw my mother, you know, if she worked because she wanted to, because he was the man of the house. Well, he took care of the building. So, now, on your end, you had a father that was an entertainer, that was gone all the time, that was gone all the time. Do you think, and we are vastly different as people, and I think that has a lot of things that had a lot to do with the multicultural value your father brought into your life by him being an entertainer and taking you to a lot of these places. But there's a side of it where he wasn't there, and if it affected you, whereas my father was always around, and he was, you know, daddy. I was daddy's girl, me and my sister. He said if he had a chance, he'd have a house full of girls. He just loved his little girls. Wasn't really a disciplinary, not with his daughters anyway, but because I did have three brothers, and I only have one now. The other two oldest ones are gone to heaven. But it made a difference in a sense for me, because I was able to see a man always there. I was able to see a man that even when at the hardest times, he was still a man. Even when I thought he was weak because he allowed my mother to have anything and everything she wanted. I called it when we were young, oh, no, he's just weak. But it wasn't. He was strong. His strength was undeniable because he stayed and he stuck in there when it was hard. My question is, by you, I want you to chime in because you're going to give me an outlook on a life that I wasn't privy to. Your father was there, but he wasn't there. So how did you deal with that? And did it affect you in your decision in having kids or not having kids or marriage and not being married? Can you give me a little information on that? You don't have to give me all of the information about your life if you don't want to, David. I understand that, and I'm not trying to delve into that. I just want you to give me your point of view on, do you think, not just his profession, but as being your father, it changed your outlook as an adult on your decision-making when it came to marriage, children, and everything?
Well, yeah, you know, basically, that's a good question for me. I didn't understand it, but I had a good foundation at home. When he was gone, so I didn't understand it. But when he was there, he was a father. He was a very good role model for me as far as the art and keeping me straight and narrow. Yes, for me to have kids and wanting to be a musician at the time, I didn't want to have kids and going to school. I didn't want to do that. Because I didn't want to be, you know, not there with my kids and struggling, because it still was a struggle, because in this early times it was a struggle for him. Then he got, you know, more work for himself, you know. But at the beginning when we was in New York or coming back home and then going, it was as a musician, artist, you know, it was tough times, you know. So it was, for me, it was a good decision to stay in L.A. and be settled. And we had a good support system with the family. So that was good. But, yeah, it did affect me to, luckily we had strong men and women around us. So that was a good thing. And we had a cultural base in school and with marching band or drama or basketball that I did, you know. So I had this thing that it was really worked for me, you know. But I didn't understand it, but until later, I'm talking about until I got into like high school and college. Then I started understanding that, and that did affect my decisions too, because a lot of cats was having babies and stuff in college and stuff like that and stuff. And I said, no, I can't do that. I'm here to do this. I'm here to do that. And I'm here to do this. So it did affect my.
So that's what I'm saying. So you diverted a lot of the, and this is before you go so far, because you said a lot. I just want to make sure I departmentalize it so I can then regurgitate it, because that's what I'm going to do. So you're saying that, you know, the things that when he was gone or when the times got tough, that was uncles and aunts and grandfathers or other male mentors that you were able to rely on when your father was not there.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and it's still like that. But the reflection of being a musician and really respecting my father and really loving him and what he was doing, and I loved the stuff he was doing. But I didn't want to not be there with, if I was going to have kids, if you was asking that question. I didn't want to have kids. Because until, you know, until
was it directly
was,
because of the fact that your
because I didn't want to do that.
He missed a lot of your what you were doing because he was away trying to make a living for you guys and he missed a lot of your life. You felt like you didn't want to impose that on another child by you doing the exact same thing because you had made the decision. You had made the decision to be a musician. Okay.
Yes, I
so
made
let
the
me
decision, and then. And then when I go into college, that's what I was there to do. It was a study and stuff like that, and just get my degree. And so it wasn't in the thing for me to say, okay, I'm gonna all of a sudden I get a kid, a child. And then my sister, I watched her, and she had a child when she was in the first year of school. And then she couldn't even go back to, she had a scholarship at USC. So when you look at it, you know, having a child early and you're trying to do some things sometimes, you know, what you're going to do, you're going to take care of the child.
Huh? But do you think it, even though it helped in when you were younger, you think it, you don't have any kids, so. When, you know, and I had three, I remember, I when we were in college, you left, I think that's last, that third year I was in college, I became pregnant. And you're right, I had to leave because the child is more important, but I had a support system. My mother was still there, my father was always there, my mom and my dad has always been there for me whatever and for whatever. I appreciate I appreciate that my father stayed, but it gave me an unrealistic point of view, and excuse me if it sounds crass.
Well, I'm going to come in because I have this thought. What you're just saying, because I think we talked earlier about how things happen in your cycle, your family, sometimes. And that's a whole nother subject we're talking about. But, you know, I didn't want that cycle of, okay, I'm going to do the same thing my father did and then leave and go on the road and stuff and leave and then have a child and leave it to somebody that's going to take care of my child. I didn't want that. So, I looked at that, you know. So, I mean, you know, because that's a cycle sometimes that can happen. And I could have been in that cycle. Okay, I'm a musician. I'm hitting the road. I'm going to leave my baby with this woman or whatever. You know what I'm saying. It didn't serve a purpose at that time for me.
I think because of whatever inspired when you were younger about that just stopped you from wanting to take another child through it, whether it be I don't think it was, I'm sure was not happy all the time because nobody's life is 100% happy-go-lucky.
Yeah.
Even when you're rich, you know, you're not 100% happy-go-lucky. But there were points in your life, obviously, that you decided that this was not something you would want to do to somebody else because of whatever you had to deal with and go through. You had to always know and understand that this, too, can affect someone else. If it's affecting you that way, if you go out and have a baby, it's going to affect them. And I get that. I do get that. But do you miss the fact that you did not have a child? And you can still have one. See,
I think about it once in a while, and I said no, because I have students and people I teach and been there, and I, you know, you want to sow your seed to pass it on. But just like little, I mean, like cats like Jazz Man, if I can get with him and just pass it on to people and like that. So I have many children that I have worked with and stuff like that. So so on the joke side, it's kind of nice to come home and like nobody's
and not the
like mine.
Yeah, I know, I got.
But we got like 90 seconds, so yeah. And we can come back on that. I mean, you know, but good question. That's a good question, Hummingbird. You know,
Yeah,
I mean, the last time we talked, we were talking about abuse.
Right.
You know, That would be a, but you
well,
have 90,
you know,
you have like about 60 seconds.
All righty. I want to thank you guys. We got so deep into conversation, I almost forgot where I was. I'm on the radio. Well, thank you so much for coming and listening to us this morning. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I want everybody to have a great weekend, and I hope you guys come back next weekend. Well, we'll surprise you with something else that's on my mind. I'm through.
Yes. On the organic talk. This is our organic
that's
talk.
Right.
The Organic Nation Listening
organic
Club.
Nation
but
Club,
the second
right.
section is the organic talk, baby. And
yeah.
Hummingbird, she works it out. And so everybody have a good weekend. And we're going to get back into some, I think we're going to go through some Marvin Gaye. I think it's nice.
Oh, he's in Marvin?
Since we was in Marvin Gaye. I think we need to party a little bit. Start our weekend off.
Right.
Here we go. Let's do this thing.
Hummingbird and David Arnett Cherry. Let's do this thing.